movements from the impounded arcana. At the centre of what passed for a chest in the hulking machines, plate housings allowed space for what design dictated should be an interfaced representation of the machine opus, or cog mechanicum, the ancient symbol of the machine cult, a hybrid human and cyborg skull. On each of the battle automata, and modified expressly against designations, the machine opus had been removed and replaced with an interlocking unit of brassy polyhedral cogs. The gears were all outlandish shapes and intricate sizes, driving one another smoothly, their dentica and teeth fitting beautifully together. The arrangement ticked hypnotically, like an archaic timepiece. The Carrion had never seen anything like the arrangement during his 30 years on Mars. Watching the backward and forward action of the polyhedral cogs, the knight-errant could not shake the impression that the gears were in the act of processing something, rather than being physically driven.
Tok!
The sound of a wretched voice echoed about the vault. The Carrion looked to his servo-automata.
"Locate and isolate," he ordered, prompting the null and the void to advance with their rotor guns raised.
The cyber-raven Strix took to the air and swooped over the cortex casings and silent bolt cannons of the statuesque ranks of battle automata. Limping through the lines of metal giants, the Carrion held his graviton gun tightly to his chest. The Raven Guard felt vulnerable amongst the small army of heretical machines. It was an unusual feeling for one of the Emperor's angels.
"Tick-tock!"
the voice came again. As the Carrion dragged the sluggish hydraulics of his damaged leg, the meme cells of his cogitator overlaid his dream of Octal Bool with the words bouncing about the emptiness of the chamber. They were a match. An exact match for the heretic's final words. Strix found him first. The Cyber Raven perched on the pauldron of a nearby Castellan war machine, Kant cawing its discovery, and drawing the Carrion and the two servo-automata to the heretic's location. Advancing with the fat barrel of his graviton gun levelled, the Carrion found Octal Bool on his knees. The heretic was bent over double, but not in pain. In joy. He was laughing. As the madness went from silent hilarity through hissing and wheezing to unrestrained glee, the heretic kept blurting,
"Tick-tock! Tick-tock!"
The Carrion considered a range of approaches to the situation. This was not exactly what he'd been trained for. He dismissed a formal identification of his person, purpose, and credentials as pointless, while the implementation of physical violence would be counterproductive. Slipping down onto the armoured knees of his bionic legs before the former Majus Dominus of the Legio Cybernetica, the Carrion looked down on the frail priest. Octal Bool quaked with glee, looking about him at the mighty battle automata. He seemed particularly excited by the strange whir of their polyhedral cogs. The Carrion took the heretic by the arms and lifted him up, drawing the madman to face him. The Raven Guard blinked the blank silver of his eyes at the priest. Bool bowed his head before the Carrion, revealing the blood on the crown of his head, still fresh, where the lexicists and hench units of the Prefecture Magisterium had ripped some interface or working from a cavity running down into his brain. Bool brought his head up and opened his bloodshot eyes. The Carrion reminded himself that for the heretic, 30 years had passed in an unbroken moment. His tortures and the traumatic stripping of his cybernetics were but fresh torments. His warning to those gathered in the auditorium, the Carrion included, all those years ago, was still bitter on his cracked lips. Of the true dangers to Mars, the embraced darkness of ignorance, and a priesthood wired from vat birth to obey. Of the purity of the machine, and the weakness of flesh.
"Mars will give up her secrets,"
the lunatic babbled.
"She has," the Carrion told him grimly. "And she will,
The heretic reached out absently for the silver workings of his arm and the paintless plate on the Space Marine's chest. He was like a beaten child, a tortured genius and an overloaded machine all wrapped up in one miserable specimen.
Octobul,
the Carrion said, bringing the heretic back to the severity of the moment. After chrono-containment, the Space Marine reasoned, the free passage of time must have been a horribly disorientating experience.
Bool, I need you to remember. What you have predicted has come to pass. Mars has fallen. It needs to be purged, Bool. Do you hear me?
The heretic's red raw face screwed up with the joy of recognition. He nodded.
Of the weakness of flesh?
Yes, the Carrion confirmed. Of the weakness of flesh. Do you remember the vertex? The planetary axle? The magnetospheric shield of Mars?
Bool, do you remember your heresy, your sedition with the abominable intelligence, and what you plan to do?
The machines must rise!
The heretic squawked excitedly.
And the red planet must be purged, the knight errant repeated, shaking the madman gently. Bool, listen to me. This has to happen now, just as you were planning, before being caught by the Lexicists of the Prefecture Magisterium. Bool, where is the abominable intelligence? Where is the Tabula Myriad?
As the heretic slowly repeated his words back to him, he suffered a sudden realization, like a spasm. Releasing his grip, the Space Marine watched the wretch stumble to his feet and set off through the forest of towering battle automata. Pushing himself off the battered red plate of the robot's legs, Octobul moved with deranged certainty through the machines. Hobbling on his damaged limb, the Carrion followed him, and in turn was followed by his servo automata, their rotor guns at the ready. At the center of the huge vault, amongst what the knight-errant estimated to be the entire Deidari reserve cohort, he found the heretic struggling with the seals of a security casket situated on the disk of a stasis plate. Without his augmentations or carapace, the Magos was a feeble thing of thin bone and wasted flesh. Sliding the cog wrench off his belt, the Carrion stepped forward.
"Stand back,"
the Raven Guard said, prompting the heretic to retreat.
"Tick-tock! Tick-tock!"
Octobul said, biting at his fingers.
"Be careful!"
With one power armor-driven swing, he struck the magnetic seal from the crating with the cog wrench. Weaving in under the workings of the Carrion's bionic arm, Octobul seized the crate and heaved the heavy lid from it. Peering down into the darkness, the Carrion was surprised to hear the heretic cooing and whispering into the crate. Laying a hydraulic hand on the priest's shoulder and prizing him away, the Carrion found that Bool was holding a small fabricant to his chest, that in turn was clutching him back like a baby. From behind it appeared to be a cherub, a cybernetic construct of clone flesh crafted into the form of a winged baby or angel. As it worked its white wings, Bool turned to the Space Marine, and the Carrion saw its face. The construct was not a thing of flesh at all, but a small automata, a being of robotic frame and discolored plasteel, with metal protrusions like ratchet hooks for legs and tiny toolage claws for hands. Its head had the dead eyes of a doll, while the dirty plasteel of its face was a fixed mask. One quarter of its bald crown had been stripped away, presumably for an exploratory examination by the prefecture Lexicists. Beneath, the Carrion could see the smooth workings of intricate brassy cogs and polyhedral gears, the same wondrous mechanism he had observed set in the chests of the battle automata. Incredibly, for such a fabricant, a thing of metal, plasteel, and flywheels, the construct demonstrated simple but clear emotional responses. Bool and the thing embraced like father and child, the heretic reassuring the creation after its incarceration in the crate and the stasis field.
"Unmechanical,"
Octobul told the Carrion.
"A pet project."
"Bool,"
the knight-errant said. Where is the tabula myriad? The heretic released the cherub, which crawled back into the crate. Within moments it returned. The flapping of its white wings took it into the air. Over its shoulder it had the loop of a chain made of interlinking gears. As the carrion watched and the cherub rose, a machine appeared from the crate.
"Mars be damned," the carrion murmured, shaking his head.
Beside him, the Null and the Void responded to the Aegis protocols and leaned in with the multi-barrels of their rotoguns. The cyber raven Strix cant-cawed the consternation of a simple threat assessment. The mechanism was an impossible thing. A large orb of interlocking cogs and gears of a design, motion, and intricacy far surpassing the basic mechanisms implanted in the battle automata and the uncanical. It was an overlaid nexus of ticking, rhythmic clicking, and the slick, harmonious whir of impossible gears working in unison. The carrion couldn't bring himself to think of it as alien, but its design and workings disturbed him. It looked as if it shouldn't work, but it did. Perfectly. While human in design, the clunky intricacy of the machine told him that, it was clearly not a creation of the Mechanicum, a hallowed fusion of flesh and iron. The exigency engine was all counterclock gears and Byzantine cogwork that became more miniaturized and unfathomable the deeper he looked into the mechanism. Baroque tools, interface columns, and molecular scoops extended and retracted gently through the labyrinthine workings with the serenity of a serpent's tongue, testing, interacting, and absorbing the base elements it needed from the air and surrounding environment.
"This is the abominable intelligence," the carrion said.
But it was clearly a statement, more than a question.
"This is the tabula myriad,"
Boktul Bool told him.
"Purger of the paraffex of Alter Median and purifier of the stellar exodus worlds of the Perdus Rift."
The carrion watched as the cogs, gears, and workings of the abominable intelligence parted at the base of the orb, creating an opening.
"Yes, yes,"
Boktul Bool bleated. Further polyhedral cogs and intricate workings appeared in the opening, until the heretic approached the silica animus and took from it a smaller orb of interlocking gears, the same kind of mechanism the carrion had seen at work in the battle automata and the cherub. The knight-errant repressed a shiver. The abominable intelligence was self-replicating. Boktul Bool turned, carefully carrying the miniature intelligence in his hands, and offered it to the carrion. The raven guard's lip curled. His instinct was to destroy the thing, but instead he settled on holding the ceramite palm of his gauntlet up.
"I am not worthy," the knight-errant told the heretic.
He assumed the abominable machine could hear him. Bool simply smiled and bowed his head, then took the miniature intelligence and pushed it down into the bloody cavity in the top of his head. With a sickly realization, the carrion suddenly understood that Bool's torturers in the dungeon Diagnoplex had removed such a thing with the rest of his augmentations. Boktul Bool's face changed. The insanity and agitation faded. Twitches subsided. Lines disappeared. Muscles relaxed. With or without such slave interfacia, Boktul Bool was a heretic and sincere devotee of the genocidal tabula myriad and its cold equations. Once again, however, he had achieved abominable union with the intelligence, and had given himself willingly to the prosecution of its harsh solution for humanity. The carrion looked from the tabula myriad to the human face of techno-heresy in the calm visage of Boktul Bool.
"There isn't much time," the carrion announced. "Mars must be purged. It must be poisoned and purified of the weakness of flesh."
The intelligence-interfaced heretic gave the carrion an awkward smile. About the Raven Guard, the reactor cores of the Castellans fired to unified life, Autoloaders of arm-mounted Maximus bolt guns and paraxial Mauler shoulder cannons chugged to priming, and the automantic defense fields energized, filling the air of the vault with the crackle and static of weapons-phased shielding. With the artificial flesh of their neural cortices long extracted, and no further need for wetware routines or the guidance of machine spirit, the battle automata were now thinking machines, benefiting from their own simple exigency engines. Like Octal Bool and the Cherub Uncanical, however, they were under the ultimate reason and control of the Abominable Intelligence. Without the need for voxcat or orders in the form of binary, the battle automata began to form up in their operational maniples. As the carrion looked about in amazement, battle automata bearing the carapace identifiers of the first maniple stomped to attention and assumed a protective formation about Bool and the Tabula Myriad. Among their stamped records of operational history, the carrion could see the designations of individual automata. Dex, Impedicus, Nullus, Pollex, and Little Auri. The carrion nodded with appreciation as he realized that the units of the first maniple were named after the fingers of the hand. The knight-errant had no doubt that working in unison, the hulking battle automata would pack quite a punch.
Vertex Australis, and the destruction of the magnetospheric shield, the carrion said to the serene Octal Bool, and the intricate exercise in abominable genius that was the Tabula Myriad. The eradication of flesh must be enacted.
As the first maniples of battle automata began forming up in front of the elevator doors leading into the cell vault, Octal Bool gave him the peaceful certitude of his bloodshot eyes.
"Fear not, ally of annihilation," the heretic said. "It has already begun."
Execute. War had returned to Mars. Not since the Thunderhawks and Stormbirds of the Seventh Legion had departed had Bolt and Beam been exchanged with such purpose and determination. It was true that long after the Sons of Dawn left the Red Planet to its treacherous fate, loyalist constructs, mutilating themselves by ripping out ports and interface augmentia, fought on in the ruined shells of their forge temples. With no sockets or receivers, the true servants of the Omnisire were immune to the effects of the infectious scrap code that had driven so many of their compatriot constructs to madness and heresy. These forge worlders fought a guerrilla war against the new overlords of Mars, little realizing that it was their own fabricator general who had betrayed them to Horus Lupercal, and unleashed dark, ruinous secrets from the repositories of techno-heresy, like the dread vaults of Moravec. As the battle automata of the Deidari Reserve Cohort marched their indomitable way south, the carrion observed the failures of the loyalists. The robot maniples stamped through the irradiated bones of ragtag soldiers who had been launching hit-and-run attacks on traitor convoys in the frigid deserts. They passed through demolished hab-hives where resistance constructs had fought a short-lived urban war in the narrow freightways and derelict structures. Their priest leaders toiled in workshops to discover a way to reverse the corruption of the code that, like a plague, took as many of their number as the weapons of traitor thralls and infected automata. Then there were the forge temples of the south, some of which had embraced new developments like new spherics, which had offered the great anvil altars of the Omnisire some protection against the virulent ruin spilling through the data streams, hardlines, and wireless feeds. These the Deidari Reserve Cohort found to be gone. Entire temples had been wiped off the face of Mars by Titan war machines, by airstrikes of the Tagmata Aeronautica, and orbital barrages launched from Arx Mechanicum stationed beyond the contested Ring of Iron. The carrion admired the spirit of the Martian freedom fighters. It was the Raven Guard's kind of warfare, striking from the shadows, stealth, sabotage, and the lightning sweep of hit-and-run attacks. These tactics had failed the loyalist guerrillas, however. Beyond the constant threat of scrapcode infection, the corruption, ever attempting to worm its way into the untainted workings of the constructs, the freedom fighters were battling against the dark masters of Mars. A mechanicum removed, revering no longer the machine god, but dread technological wonders, powers incalculable, and forbidden knowledge from which the Omnissiah had so long protected them. These code-screeching slaves, reforged in purpose and form by the dark fires of ignorance and otherworldly influence, were unremitting in their destruction of the Omnissiah's true servants. Unified in their shared corruption, they exterminated the loyalist mechanicum with a prejudice primordial and extreme. What flesh and iron could not be warped to the new purpose of Kelbor Hal, the War Master, and their infernal allies, had to be destroyed. This was the story Mars told, as the Daedari Reserve cohort trudged south through sand and frost. Beam-riddled bodies in omniscient red, blackened crater fields left in the wake of airstrikes and god-machine mega-weaponry, forges forgotten in apocalyptic fire, the blasted red rock of horizon-scraping hollows and unnatural energies blazing down from orbit. Still, despite such odds, the Carrion's legionary eye, his knowledge of Mars and his tactical instincts, told him that there was something else at work. In the darkness of the south, where the long polar night and the distant fires of traitor forges had plunged the red planet into a sickly twilight, the Raven Guard felt that there were other forces moving. The ruinous oligarchy and feudal priesthood of the ruling Magi directed the traitor forces of Mars with the dread authority of their overlord Kelbor Hal. Forces on the ground, however, were insanity-canting cybernetic monstrosities. Their sickness-streamed protocols might have dictated their movement, industry and deployment, but the perversions of vat flesh and constructs of haunted iron were drunk on the dark power that scarified their systems. They were things of mindless madness, throwing off the sober deportment of their previous existence. They stalked. They murdered. They destroyed. The Carrion's cogitator, training and battle experience, told him that such successes were not to be expected from such monstrous aberrations. He considered who on Mars the traitor Kelbor Hal would trust to secure the dawn of his dark empire from remnant loyalists, freedom-fighting constructs, and even possible reclamation forces from Terra. Which of his arch-Magi militant, his synod persecutors, Magi reductor, myrmidax, or ordinators had the Fabricator General entrusted the security of Mars too? The infamous Skeltarthrax, Alyosio Suvias, Haxmin Trifon? Perhaps even a Transmartian, an off-worlder like Cornelis Varicari. The Carrion did not know, and there was little in the scorched bones and obliterated wreckage of loyalist guerrillas left behind to tell him. As the sinister computations and predictive calculations of the Tabula Myriad drove the battle automata of the Daedari Reserve cohort south into darkness and dropping temperatures, and on from victory to decisive victory, the Carrion could not help but feel that he was part of a game. A tactical contest, not unlike the one Lord Dorne and the Regent Malkador had discussed, where the frosted sands of the Martian south were the board, and Mechanicum constructs the pieces. It was possible the Tabula Myriad was not the only dread intelligence at work in these war-torn lands. Although the Abomination communicated nothing of such knowledge, the Carrion noticed that the exigency engine guided its army of slave battle automata with strategic subtlety and sophistication, as if it were playing against an expert tactician, a master in ordnance and fortification. The abominable intelligence would avoid some engagements while taking the Daedari out of its way to indulge others. Sometimes it would direct its battle automata to march relentlessly towards their mission objective, while at other times it had the cohort trudge leagues out of its way, through harsh terrain and over snow-capped mountain ranges. As the days and weeks wore on, the skies blacker, the stabbing temperatures colder, and the heat of battle ever fiercer, the Carrion became convinced that the abominable intelligence and its treacherous opposite were playing deadly games with forced disposition and an approach on the great polar forge of the south, the traitor-held temple of Vertex Australis. The carrion pulled the frost-stiff material of his black robes about the grey of his plate. The length of his ice-laced hair framed the rawness of his pale face. It was the only bit of his engineered body that could feel the ferocious temperatures. But just looking at Di Delta 451 and Eta Iota 13 in their goggles, infratic robes and turbans made the knight-errant feel cold. The cyber-raven Strix hopped between the node columns protruding from the carrion's shoulders. His feathers frosted, but the columns provided a little welcome warmth. The knight-errant and his attendant automata were travelling in a Trier Rose-class armoured transport, a heavy-duty galvanic traction engine armoured with thick plate. Octal Bull had recovered the carrier engine from an all-but-demolished loyalist workshop. The guerrilla constructs had been brutally executed by heavily augmented shock troops, a number of which lay broken on the ground, as evidence of the determination with which the Loyalists had defended their meagre base of operations. Bool found the carrier engine to have been stripped of servitors, and its systems code-scrubbed by the workshop transmechanics. Appropriated for the ease of transporting the biologicals and the tabula myriad itself, the Mechanicum carrier engine chewed up the Martian soil and ice behind the impassive synchronicity of the battle automata. Like an ancient Terran warlord, the abominable intelligence marched its war machines up and down the scree of red mountain slopes, through demolished manufactoria and around the distant Baelite and sky-skewering discharges that proceeded from traitor-fortified forge temples. Prompting Strix to hop onto the digits of his hydraulic hand, the carrion popped the cyber-raven on the void's shoulder. As he got up, the Null went to get to her feet.
"Remain," the carrion ordered.
He gave the silent, dead-eyed uncanical and the incessant whirring and ticking of the interlocking orb of cogs and gears that was the tabula myriad a wide berth, climbing up out of the service bay and onto the platform of the control dais. There the knight-errant found Octal Bool at the carrier engine's controls, swathed in thermal robes. They were deep in the polar wastes now. The carrion could hear the armoured feet of the battle automata crunching down through carbon dioxide snow and ice, while even the heavy-duty tracks of the vehicle were having difficulty with the depths of the drift through which it was ploughing. The vehicle's simple energy shielding sizzled through the freeze, and kept the worst of the searing wind off the open cab dais. Here, on the approach to the pole, the abominable intelligence had settled on a route through some of the most dangerous terrain the ice cap had to offer. Abyssal fissures, polychromatic ice sheets, a polar vortex of plasteel-cracking temperatures and cloud banks of freezing vapour, which lent, if it were possible, the long night of the south an even greater murk and obscurity. Even with the carrier engine searchlamps on, the carrion could barely see the rearmost machines in the cohort columns of Deidari battle automata. The robots were whitewashed with snow, marching on dauntlessly into the darkness. Not being able to use the code-corrupted communication channels, seamless coordination was entirely reliant on the miniature exigency engines turning, clicking, and whirring in their chests, and the unspeaking communion they shared with the tabula myriad itself. Not only did the battle automata seem to think for themselves, they thought for each other, with such thoughts being guided by the abominable intelligence. It was disconcerting and loathsome to behold, but the carrion had to admit that such techno-heresy was serving the cohort well on its march south. The Castellan-class machines had been a wonder to watch. With the heavy trudge of their hydraulic legs, the rattling plate of their combat chassis, and the sizzle of atomantic shielding, the Deidari Reserve cohort relived the glorious days of off-world conquest and their contributions to the great crusade of mankind. Rather than magi and the inflexible algorithms of their combat wetware driving them on, Under the integrated control of the Tabula Myriad, the robots were imbued with a simple self-determination that was simultaneously eerie and yet undeniably impressive to see in a machine. At Hadriatica, the Carrion had seen the monstrous automata stride through a sea of traitor Scutari, the flash of las shots searing off their shielding and carapaces, while the battle automata shredded through the soldiers with Maximus bolt guns and hydraulic sweeps of their arm carriages. In the ruins of the Ausonian assembly yards, he saw them punch through the sides of battle-scarred land raiders and carrier engines, tearing tech thralls and heavily augmented gun servitors out through the rents in transports and ripping them limb from limb with their chunky powered fists. They had stormed the freightways and landing strips of the Eridanus deep core mining fields, smashing through code-corrupted excavator constructs and chittering hordes of Myrmidon mercenaries, long charged by the feudal overlords of the area to protect their interests. In the dioxide-dusted peaks of the Thylus Heights, amongst the skyscraping veins of the Neretsky Towers, the battle automata cannon-hammered the sides of roving assault carriers and gravcraft that had acquired the exposed cohort on the ridge. Descending on crashed carriers, the Castellan-class war machines stomped down the frozen slopes and set about demolishing the aircraft. Crushing the tech thralls escaping the crash site under armored feet, they mauled the wreckage and survivors with their shoulder-mounted bolt weaponry before tearing sections off the carrier and downing nearby code-screeching aircraft with hurled wreckage. The battle automata had taken losses, nonetheless. A marauding warhound scout Titan had been dogging the cohort's indomitable steps since the remains of the Hesperia subhives, filling the darkness and the crisp Martian air with the booming madness of its warhorns. The great machine had been crisscrossing the Martian wastes, and had finally located the Deidari cohort on the shores of Lake Tetanus, a seasonal body of meltwater. The Titan's command deck lit up with ghoulish satisfaction, and the ground trembled with its roar of garbled binary as its Vulcan megabolters did their worst. Turning the shoreline and rusty shallows of the lake into a maelstrom of destruction, the Warhound decimated a section of the abominable intelligence's automata army, shredding carapaces, battle chassis, and exigency engines in an unrelenting stream of fire. Swift to respond and seeing no probability of success in an assault on the Titan, the Tabula Myriad directed its maniples into the waters of the lake itself, effectively losing the infuriated war machine. A strike fighter bombing run lit up the night on the polychromatic expanse of ice, but also cut through the columns of marching battle automata, turning units into scrap-strewn craters and damaging a further 50 war machines. Losses always seem to be calculated as part of some ongoing equation, being clicked and whirred inside the intricacies of the abominable intelligence. The remainder of the Cybernetica cohort certainly wouldn't pass a diagnostic muster. On most of the battle automata, the Atomantic shielding reactors were operating at below half strength. Their las-scorched carapaces were buckled and bolt-ridden, and their ammo crates and autoloaders were all but empty. The synchronous march of the Deidari units also wasn't what it had been, with shredded cabling and hydraulics leading machines to drag armored feet and allow weaponized limbs to hang uselessly at their sides. What was most startling for the Knight Errant, however, was not the way in which the battle automata soaked up punishment, which was impressive enough, but their incredible resistance to the virulent scrap code that had infected and wormed its way into nearly every construct on the Red Planet. No matter what the malefic binaric was transmitted at them, no matter what corrupted machine attempted to interface with them and flood their workings with insanity, the Carrion saw not one battle automaton fall to the techno-plague. With the intricacies of their own exigency engines turning, interlocking and calculating a kind of machine reason within them, the Tabula Myriad had created a construct ever questioning, ever countering, and ever incompatible with the dark stream. As the carrier engine backtracked to a slushy halt, the carrion pulled himself upright in the cab dais.
"What is it?"
he asked Octal Bool. The temperatures had done little for the heretic's raw face, but his calmness remained. He pointed out through the frozen darkness and the murk of swirling ice vapour that afflicted the Martian pole. The heretic handed the knight-errant a pair of magnoculars. In the distance, through the miasma and the lightless polar night, the carrion could see a colossal structure.
"Is that it?"
the space marine asked.
"Is that the Vertex Australis?"
Bool nodded. Returning to the magnoculars, the carrion saw the flare of ghostly lights about the great turning axle tower of the Forge Temple. The vast spindle extended through the depths of the Martian crust and into the planet's metal core. The revolving tower released colossal amounts of energy into the heavens of the Red Planet, feeding the magnetospheric shield that protected all organic living things on Mars from the lethal radiation of the sun and deep space. As flames of unnatural power danced about the forge towers, the carrion saw other shapes out on the ice. Three mighty war machines. More warhound titans. Undoubtedly one of them was the engine that had acquired the cohort before. Peering hard through the magnoculars, the lenses of which further augmented his own optic filters, the carrion thought he could see gun emplacements out on the ice beyond the manufactoria, mills, and habs that surrounded the mighty forge temple. Assault carriers drifted across the expanse in patrol patterns, kicking up snowstorms about them, while Ocularis drones shot this way and that across the ice and about the forge.
"This is not right," the carrion said. "This is not right."
Octal Bool said nothing. As a raven guard, the carrion understood the importance of stealth and its use against an overconfident enemy. Scanning the distant forge, the carrion was spoilt for choice in terms of invitations to certain death. From the recently erected irradiator gun emplacements to the deployment of titans and extra surveillance, it appeared very much as if the Daedari Reserve cohort were expected. As the Tabula Myriad had expertly weighed the probabilities and strategically guided the cohort of battle automata across the nightmare of traitor-held Mars, the carrion had been ghosted by the irrepressible suspicion that they were being hunted. How, the knight-errant could not know. No one on the Red Planet knew of his mission. Yet here he was, staring at an infiltration target that had been hastily fortified for a siege. Looking up into the darkness of the polar night sky, the carrion could hear the rumble of engines. Somewhere above the cloud of icy vapour was a fighter wing awaiting orders for an airstrike. Worse still, the carrion could swear that the glittering constellation of lights that had moved silently and slowly across the night sky over the past few days was the Ring of Iron, reorienting its orbital alignment to encircle the Martian poles and deter any kind of direct attack on the Vertex Borealis, Australis, or the planetary axle itself.
"They know we're coming," the carrion said.
This time Octal Bool acknowledged his concerns.
"The Tabula Myriad concurs,"
the heretic told him. Suddenly there was movement in front of the carrier engine. Looking back through the magnoculars, the carrion could see that the maniples of the Daedari cohort were splitting into three. Striding out of the murk, the battle automata units Dex, Impedicus, Nullus, Pollex, and Little Auri presented themselves to the carrier engine.
"What's happening?"
the knight-errant demanded of Bool, and, by extension, the abominable intelligence.
"The defense forces and fortifications must be engaged,"
Bool told him. The carrion shook his head.
"Oh, that's suicide," he said.
Even with a full cohort of battle automata, the Daedari Reserve stood no chance of success in a direct assault.
"The Tabula Myriad is not aware of the relevance of any such concept,"
Octal Bool said.
"Mars must be cleansed. The mission must proceed."
"I'm not arguing, but—"
the carrion said.
"The Tabula Myriad had made its calculation,"
Octul Bull told him. The greatest chance of mission success lies with diversionary assaults and a simultaneous infiltration of the temple complex.
The losses, the Carrion protested,
are an acceptable exchange for the purification of Mars, Octul Bull told him. It will cost the entire cohort. Which is why, as an expert in such disciplines, the Tabula Myriad has designated that you lead the infiltration. Its personal guard of battle automata will do the necessary damage once inside to irreparably cripple the ancient operation of the installation.
The Carrion looked to the Castellan battle automata, marching away through the icy vapour to their certain destruction, then peered back through the magnoculars at the distant forge and its defences.
Well, the Carrion told Octul Bull, one approach does present itself.
With the carrier engine's tracks chewing up the ice at full speed, and the forge shielding intensified, the vehicle soaked up the worst that the irradiator gun emplacement had to offer. Blast after blast of radiation finally collapsed the forge screens and bathed the carrier engine in lethality. As the systems fried, the galvanic engine failed, the tracks locked in a form of vehicular death. But the irradiated shell of the carrier still skidded on towards the emplacement. It was the Carrion's plan, but the Tabula Myriad's estimation of the timing. Calculating the vehicle's speed, the number of blasts the emplacement could offer in the time it took the carrier engine to reach it, and the amount of radiation the galvanic traction drive could soak up before detonating, the abominable intelligence gave the Raven Guard the information he needed to destroy the gun emplacement crew and their deadly weapon in a vehicular explosion. Trudging through the snow, with the miasma of vapour about them, the Carrion led what was left of the Deidari cohort along the cargo carriage length of a stationary maglev engine. The carriages hovered a little way above the heated rail, with the full length of the vehicle leading out of the temple's manufactoria, waiting for its cargo of recycled waste to be processed. Unnatural fires lit up the sky from the tower tops of the temple. Around the interlopers, the air was trembling with the cacophonous sound of machine madness. Warhound titans thundered their predatory announcements, while Vox hailed insanity and screeching scrap code cut through the crisp coldness about the Vertex Australis. The Carrion led the group along the cargo carriages at a limp, with Strix perched on one node column. The Space Marine had his graviton gun pulled up ready to blast his enemies into oblivion, and was flanked by the Null and the Void with their rotor guns. Octal Bull hurried along in his thermal robes, carrying a Volkite charger liberated from the carrier engine, with the Uncanical flying behind, the Tabula Myriad dangling on the polyhedral links of its chain. Surrounding the abominable intelligence and the heretic were the Castellan battle automata of the first maniple, in a defensive wall of cybernetic might. It was not an easy task to cross the polychromatic ice sheet undetected and reach the manufactoria outskirts of the Forge Temple. It was even more difficult to infiltrate the installation with five hulking battle automata. The Space Marine reasoned that he would rather have the protection of the war machines than not, however, and used the cover of the magrail cargo carriages and the swirling white murk of the ice vapour to hide the monstrous machines the best he could. As a drone ocularis skirted across the ice at them, part of an exploratory diversion from its patrol path, the Carrion blasted the thing apart in a rain of shattered workings and fragments of housing. They could not afford to be detected so close to their objective. The knight-errant hoped that the calculations of the abominable intelligence were right, and that the suspicion aroused by the destruction of a gun emplacement here and there, or the odd drone missing, would be nothing in comparison to the frontal assaults being conducted by the rest of the Deidari cohort. As they worked their way up the magrail and into the cover of a labyrinth of low-grade manufactoria workshops, the Carrion could hear the thunder of battle nearby. At three different locations about the Vertex Australis, the battle automata of the Deidari Reserve cohort were walking into fire and destruction. As planned, their sacrifice and stubborn refusal to let go of their unnatural life was buying the Carrion and his group precious time. The frontal assaults of the Legio Cybernetica machines had drawn Ocularis drones, assault carriers full of temple thralls, airstrikes from a forge-bonded fighter wing, and the apocalyptic attentions of the three Warhound scout titans down on them. The Carrion wasn't sure how long the loyal machine's sacrifice would buy them. He hoped it would be enough, but by the sound of the battle he didn't think they had much time left. As the Carrion moved along the carriages and through the servitor slave workshops, he did his best not to attract attention. In the main, the drones were sickly-smelling technomats, adapted and programmed to perform one repetitive task. This meant that the Carrion only had to kill the occasional thrall master and bonded overseer with crushing blasts from his graviton gun. As he moved into a quad where raw materials from a depot dump were being hauled to individual workshops, it struck the Carrion that the area offered excellent opportunities to mount an ambush. The warrior limped to a halt. He felt a little bile rise from his pre-stomach.
"Maniple," he ordered. "Form up."
The tabular myriad must have authorized the battle automata to follow such an order, because within moments the five machines were in formation with the Null and the Void, offering the gaping muzzles of their bolt guns and cannons. Seconds passed. The Carrion's breath misted on the air. For a moment, nothing seemed to move. Even the servitors in their workshops grew still. It happened all of a sudden. Armoured shapes burst from around the depot dump, the workshops, and from between magrail carriages. The Carrion found himself face to face with the blank faceplate of a Thalax, a highly augmented automaton that amounted to little more than a collection of organs and cerebrum encased within mechanicum plate. It started screaming cant corruption at him, while sickly ichor began to run from its ports, cablings, and augmetic seals. The thing brought up a lightning gun, with a heavy chainblade bayonet that roared to life as the warrior charged. The Carrion pumped his graviton gun and let the construct have the full force of its blast through the narrow swivel of its midriff. Cutting the thing in two, the Carrion turned back to the Null, the Void, and the battle automata.
"Destroy them!"
the Carrion roared. The quad became a storm of arc streams and stomping Thalaxi warriors. The battle automata were ready for them. The Carrion's warning had given them the precious seconds the machines needed, and the Thalaxi troops found themselves launching an ambush straight into a hurricane of bolts and mauling gunfire. The hail of shot and shell thinned their number quickly, but others began landing on back-mounted jump packs, hitting the ground with a hydraulic bounce before and behind the knight-errant and his team. Nullus took a lightning blast to the chest, but little Auri snatched up the Thalax warrior with his powered fists and smashed him into the side of the maglev carriage. As another came at the Carrion with its lightning gun, the Void blasted it aside with a drumming stream of fire from the multi-barrel of her rotor gun. A hidden Thalax suddenly erupted from the corrugated wall of a workshop shack, its heavy chain blade presented. The bayonet ripped straight through the Void's chest, pinning her to the maglev carriage behind. She gave the warrior the coldness of her scar-stapled face, before resting the barrels of her rotor gun against its blank faceplate and blowing its head away. Both Eta Iota 13 and her killer fell simultaneously to the frozen floor. There was nothing to be done. The Carrion had to keep the constructs moving. Without the element of surprise, and at such close range, the shock troops did not last long against the hulking battle automata. The machines smashed heads and faceless helms from armoured shoulders. They tore appendages from Thalaxi warriors and fried their automotives with system-fusing power field shocks.
"Onwards!"
the Carrion called, keeping his orders simple. As the Carrion led the constructs along the carriages of the maglev engine, he couldn't help but feel that they had been expected. The shock troops had been lying in wait. Whatever was coordinating the hasty fortifications and security for the Forge Temple had seen them coming every step of the way. Such preoccupations almost cost the Carrion dearly, as a second wave of thrall constructs came at him from the workshops and freightways running alongside the magrail.
A crackling set of lightning claws came at the Raven Guard, forcing him to turn and take the scrape of the searing weapons across his pauldron. Through the darkness of its faceplate, he saw the suggestion of something altered and monstrous within. Smashing the thing back with the stock of his graviton gun, he found that the close combat construct had two crackling claws. Like the Thalaxi, these monstrosities wore a form of mechanicum-powered plate and were called the Ursinax. The thing came right back at the Space Marine, backslashing the gun out of his grip with its other sizzling claw. The Carrion snarled and thrust a gauntleted palm at the augmented warrior's face. Digging his ceramite fingertips into its buckling faceplate, he tore the helm piece off. Firing the four interface spikes on his hydraulic fist, he threw a pneumatic punch with his bionic arm. The blows stabbed the Ursinax through the brain, and the Carrion watched as the nightmare of robotic limbs and innards collapsed. Raising the graviton gun, he kicked the next back with his good leg, then shot the second, third, and fourth Ursinax warriors to come at him, force-blasting them into each other, the workshop walls, and the cargo carriage. "Finish them!" the Carrion commanded, as the battle automata Dex and Impedicus stomped up to him. Suddenly, the cargo carriage ahead was blasted out of line and off its magrail. The recyclable scrap it contained showered across the open space created by its crushing path as the carriage skidded around, leveling workshops and technomat servitors. The Carrion felt the frost-shattered rockcrete beneath his boots quake with the step of a large approaching construct. A siege automaton stepped forward from where it had kicked the demolished cargo carriage out of line, creating an opening for itself. It was massive, towering three or four times as tall as the Space Marine. It sported giant crushing claws, as big as the Carrion himself, each mounting monstrous twin-mauler cannons. The baleful glow shot from cracks, old bolt holes and buckled plate housings in its armor. The Colossus reached for him with its great claws, but the Carrion blasted it to one side with his graviton gun. The shower of sparks off its barrel chest from the Null's rotor gun did nothing to impress the gargantuan thing, and it stepped clean over both of them to get to the first maniple of the Daedari Reserve cohort. Putting themselves between the siege monster and the Tabula Myriad, the Castellans went straight for the giant's legs. Pollux was snatched straight up in the great claw and crushed like a rations can. Meanwhile, the Maniple's other units seized the monster machine's huge legs and sheared away at the workings and hydraulics of its axial knee joints with shredding fire from their Maximus bolt guns and mauler cannon. Appearing from the gap left by the maglev carriage, four escort units were stomping their way into the fray to support the enormous siege automata. They were all Castellax-class units, the more common kin of the first Maniple. Instead of power fists, however, the monstrous machines were equipped with the serrated crescents of spitting power blades. Their carapaces steamed with a sticky ichor that seemed to exude from the metal itself, while fist-mounted flamers dribbled a greenish fire. Upon detecting the Carrion, the first lifted its arm and blasted a sputtering stream of flame at the knight-errant. Strix launched itself for the sky with a cant core as the Carrion snatched up a piece of metal scrap and deflected the worst of the sickly inferno with the surface of the plate fragment. As the Carrion abandoned his makeshift shield, the enemy unit stomped slowly forward, its power blades sizzling with serrated lethality. Baiting the machine between them, the Space Marine blasted the battle automaton back with his reclaimed graviton gun, while Di-Delta 451 hammered the thing with bursts of fire from her rotor gun. As the graviton cell ran dry, the battle automaton launched itself at the Carrion, forcing him to duck and weave out of the searing path of the power blades. A sustained patter of rotor shots sparking off the thing's sticky pauldron and cortex casing seemed to distract the machine. As it went after the Null, the Carrion limped up behind it, laying the palm of his hydraulic hand on the warped thing's leg. Sapping power from its systems and reactor core, the knight-errant brought the machine to a frozen standstill. Turning on the other three Castellax units stomping through the carriage opening, the Carrion blasted every spark of scavenged energy he had drained from the first into the second unit.
The arc stream seared into the superstructure of the battle automaton, turning the cybernetic monstrosity into a smoke-swirling wreck that ground to a sparking halt. The workshop next to the carrion was suddenly blasted apart as a stuttering stream of Magnabore bolt fire erupted from the twin Mauler cannons on the siege automaton's fist. Dex, Impedicus, Little Aury, and the damaged Nullus had managed to shred through the workings of the monster's legs, bringing the Colossus to its knees. With Nullus holding one arm away from Octal Bool and the Tabula Myriad, uselessly pumping bolt shells into the side of a cargo carriage, Aury and Impedicus turned the cannon fury of the other arm through the corrugated workshop and into the remaining two Castellax units, turning them into blasted derelicts. Marching forwards, Dex slammed its fist straight through the cortex casing of the colossal siege automata, destroying the thing instantly. As it withdrew its arm, the stinking slop of corrupted flesh dripped to the rockcrete floor. Allowing Strix to land on his node column once more, the carrion picked up the graviton gun and exchanged out the spent cell for his final spare. He looked through the gap in the cargo carriages at a scrapyard beyond. It was a storage area, where the maglev engine was disgorging its transported load, and the mounds of materials were being processed.
"We've reached the Forge Temple," he told the gathered constructs,
before pumping the graviton gun and resting its barrel against his pauldron.
"Onwards," he ordered.
The null prompted Octal Bool forward, along with Uncanical and the frosted orb of the Tabula Myriad. The knight-errant and the constructs trudged up through the frosted mountain of scrap. The higher they advanced, the less shelter they benefited from. The howling winds of the frozen plain cut through the twisted scrap metal and coated everything, constructs and all, in a dusting of ice. As they moved, it was difficult not to let the eye travel up the vertiginous walls of the Forge Temple. The industrial wonder of its mills and factoria, and the baroque majesty of the spire had been things of beauty once. Now the temple was a place of dark deeds. The radiance of its furnaces were now beacons of sickly bale light. Its architecture and walls were shot through with unnatural rusts and encrustations that even the frost could do little to disguise. From this infernal smithy rose the mighty vertex. Like an axle turning with the world, it reached up into the Martian heavens, the metal of the shaft snapping and crackling with the mysterious electromagnetic energies of its planetary function. It was simple, yet impressive. The Forge Temple relied upon the vertex for power and production requirements. Using the vertex as a geomagnetic reactor and funneling magma from its reach into the Martian core for its mills, the Forge made economic use of the ancient technology. Below the carrion, like a river carving out a valley, a heavy-duty conveyor belt transported scrap on a gentle incline up into the Forge complex. Monotask servitors and robotic rigs lined the conveyor, sorting the finest quality metals for recycling before the incline grew, taking the selected scrap up a high-rise section of the travelator and into the forge. Deciding upon his entrance to the mighty forge temple, the Raven Guard led the constructs down into the valley. The heavy-duty conveyor had little problem with the weight of the battle automata. When they were all on, the carrion led the way up through the metal scrap on the moving belt. As they rose through the darkness of the polar night, the wind screamed about them, and the height became sickening. From so high up, the carrion could command a view of the ice sheet below. The sounds of battle were dying. It was all but over, with only a few of the Daedari battle automata fighting desperately on against madness and impossible odds. The screeching strike fighters and exploratory attack runs had come to an end. Ocularis drones and thrall-swamped assault carriers were drifting through the vapor and over the battlefield of decimated battle automata. The units of the First Maniple would soon be the only survivors of the Daedari Reserve cohort. The Warhound Titans bellowed a vox-cast roar of code madness that shattered the thin polar air. The command deck viewports of the god machines glowed with an unnatural light, giving the Titans the appearance of deities possessed. The polluted